Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Good. And I want to wish you a very happy pre-Valentine's Day.
Oh, thanks, Eric.
Hope you have a good one.
How nice. Just before our one-year anniversary, too.
That's true.
Of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, next week. Well, we have a very special guest today. We have Wendy Diamond on the show, who's author of a new book called It's a Dog's World, The Savvy Guide to Four-Legged Living. She's also the author of How to Understand Men Through Their Dogs and How to Understand Women Through Their Cats, and the chief pet officer of Animal Fair magazine and website. Wendy is a pet lifestyle expert on the Today Show, CBS's Greatest American Dog, and many other television shows. She lives in New York City, where she is a tireless advocate for animal rescue and welfare. We're going to start right in on that interview and welcome Wendy onto the show. Hi, Wendy.
Good. How are you guys? And thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here today. So much to talk about, as always. I'm sure you're used to that.
Never a dull moment.
So, I've read through the book, and the book just, It's a Dog's World, just became available yesterday, is that right?
Yeah, it just came out yesterday.
Okay.
And, at every Barnes & Noble and Borders and Amazon, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And we, in the third segment today, we have a few copies to give away to our listeners. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, so we have that available in a little bit to invite people to call in and receive a free copy of your book, which is wonderful. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So, I started out very curious, just learning a little bit about all the things that you've done. And something that people ask me a lot is, how do you get into this? You know, how do you get into dog type, especially media related careers?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting, seeing how you made the connection working with homeless people in New York and
right.
What you noticed. Will you tell us what you noticed and what kind of lit the light bulb for you as far as dog stuff?
Oh, okay. Well, what happened was I'm from Ohio, so a small town in Ohio. So I grew up with the animals my whole entire life, horses, dogs, cats, bunnies, everything. And I was in love with animals. But when I went to college in Boston, I didn't have any animals there. And I then lived in Europe a little bit after college, and I got to New York City. And when I got to New York City, I was just amazed at homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't believe, people actually were living on the streets. So I went and started volunteering for the Coalition for the Homeless, and I've actually worked, and helped groups across the country that support homeless people and children. And from that, for 6 months, I would go on the streets and I would feed 1,000 people a day. I did that 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never felt so, it just is such an amazing experience because you just feel so grateful for what you have. You just realize wow, my life, I'm so fortunate. And so from doing that, I did two cookbooks, one called A Musical Feast and one called An All-Star Feast. Both are two cookbooks with celebrities. The music one had Madonna in it and all these famous people and their recipes, and I raised money for the homeless through that. And I raised about $500,000 from both those books to help homeless people and children.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 60% of homeless people are women and children.
Mm.
So from doing that, I knew how to go and, get celebrities behind a project and get them to get support helping homeless people. And I adopted my cat because I was lonely in New York, and I adopted a cat from the shelter, and I was just astounded in 1999 of the conditions of shelters. And so from there, I just was really concerned, and I started kind of researching it. And from there, I wanted to get a friend for my cat, so I got a little dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I just decided from that point on how amazing they were for my life. They brought me amazing love and companionship. And so from that day on, after adopting my dog, Lucky, I decided that I was going to create Animal Fair, which is fairness to animals and supporting animal rescue and welfare. What happened is I launched Animal Fair because I wanted to bring awareness towards animal lifestyle. And that at that point in 1999, dogs were named Spot in the backyard still.
Right.
The majority of dogs. There was not, there wasn't dog beds or anything like that. There was two dog bag designers. Airlines still were refusing to allow dogs on the flights. I mean, it was just a total different world. But for some reason, I really knew that that was going to change, and that I coined pet lifestyle in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And I launched Animal Fair. I decided to get celebrities on the cover. So my first celebrity cover was Renee Zellweger,
mm-hmm.
and Renee was not Renee Zellweger of today, but was Renee Zellweger, this young actress that really was not mainstream yet, but she was just about to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this adorable rescue dog named Dylan that she rescued while she was in Texas before she went to Hollywood. And so we got Renee on the cover. It was the rescue dog, and it was before anybody had anything to do with celebrities and pets. Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing any of this. And that's when we launched Animal Fair in 1999.
What a difference 10 years makes.
It's incredible. I mean, yeah. In 1999, we created the first ever pet fashion show.
Wow.
And nobody ever had a pet fashion show where dogs were, like, walking on runways. And the idea for that came about was because I loved fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, why don't I get all the fashion designers to do one-of-a-kind dog outfits? And we'll give them, we'll donate the money, we'll put them up for auction, we'll give the money to the homeless, and we'll create awareness towards animal rescue.
Yeah, I think you wrote only, at that time, there were only two designers that were designing pet apparel.
Yeah.
And, now it's like
everyone, Ralph Lauren, everyone.
Yeah, I was talking about this a little bit last week, and I think uh-huh. you would be the perfect person to ask, because I'm definitely, you're probably 1,000 times more fashion savvy and kind of in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And, we were talking about these, I was looking online at these dog dresses.
Right.
And they're serious stuff. I mean, they're really cute, but I was just really like, wow, they're expensive. They have like Swarovski crystal elements in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, what your take on that whole world is. Is that mm-hmm. something that
you'll read in the book, It's a Dog's World. You'll read the whole fashion chapter. I am totally against humanizing dogs.
Yeah.
I do not believe a dog is a dog, and a dog, definitely smaller dogs. I have a Maltese. I keep her really short. They need clothing when it's cold out,
yeah.
when it's raining. They. It's actually unhealthy for dogs to wear clothing every day.
Yeah.
I absolutely am one of the people that was, like I said, I did create the first ever pet fashion show, so I have seen the most outrageous dog outfits you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe, if your dog's part of your wedding, put a wedding dress on the dog. Adorable.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's a fundraiser in your town and it says, come out and celebrate raising money for animal rescue, get your dog dressed up, absolutely. But when it comes to everyday living, day-to-day living in your home, in the dog park,
mm-hmm.
When the weather's right, if you're putting clothing on to protect your dog from the sun, absolutely. But dogs have their own fur.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine. They are protected in a lot of ways. But certain dogs are not really prepared for the cold.
Yeah.
So that is important. And also, like, the dog booties, right? Some, if the shoe doesn't fit,
Right.
It's like one of those things. Dogs, have their own paws. They don't need booties.
Right.
But if your dog is okay with the booties, certainly it's going to save you cleaning them when they get home.
Right.
And so it's really important that people realize that dogs do not feel comfortable a lot of times in clothing.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said at the end of your introduction. You said the phrase pet lifestyle, which you coined, mm-hmm. is about much more than doggy spas and designer carriers. It also refers to a commitment to do what you can for animals who need rescuing, to look after the underdog, whether purebred or mutt.
Right, exactly.
So it's a really...
The reason why I launched Animal Fair in 1999 was because of how, when I adopted my cat, the shelter system. And after seeing that, I was horrified.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did my research. I found 12 million animals in 1999 were euthanized.
Mm-hmm.
12 million.
I know.
10 years later, it's down to 5 million. So I do believe that, everybody in this movement in the last 10 years, myself included, in Animal Fair, were definitely part of that, raising awareness. Celebrities have rescue dogs. You can get any breed you want in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
My dog is a purebred Maltese that would cost $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I adopted her.
Yeah.
And, that's a little bit about, it's a dog's world. Go through what type of dog is right for you.
Yeah.
And, what type of breed and what type of activity level would you want in a dog?
Yep.
If you have an active lifestyle and you want to take that dog to the ocean and swimming or to the dog park and running with you, certainly don't get a Maltese.
Right.
Join.
Yeah. You know, I like that the first, the first part of your book is about exercise, and you say if you and your dog want to live in harmony for a long, long time, you cannot be couch potatoes.
No, you know, listen. What does a dog do all day? Sleep,
yep.
And play and eat.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not reading books. They're not, you know, watching TV. They love exercise. They love to smell.
Yep.
And they want to go outside and smell.
Yeah, you wrote 33% of American humans and 40% of American pets are obese. It's like, oh, no.
And well, it's, you know, you take after, you know, listen, it's like dogs, you know, and we are responsible for our animals. They don't, you know, they don't grow up and go off to college.
Right.
You know, we're responsible from day one to train them, feed them, care for them, and love them.
Yeah.
And it's really important that people understand, you know, no tricks without treats. You know, they don't need treats all day long.
Yeah.
It's very important to, like, give them a treat when they do something right. So they realize a treat is a reward for doing something right.
Right. Yeah, much more value to it than if they're just getting them all day long. Yeah, and in one of the parts of your exercise, just regarding walking, and I say this to my clients, you know, I work with training and behavior
right.
and nutrition, is that taking them out to different places. I mean, go for a walk in a new park. Don't know, you know, if you're always just going around the neighborhood, the dog is like, it just has this tiny, tiny world. And for them, you know, having the opportunity to see new sights, most importantly, I think, to smell new smells.
Right.
And just kind of get them out, mini adventures, hiking, different parks, water. You know, I think that that's all such a great, great, important thing for people to do is to take their dogs out and stimulate
them. And it's also
great
for humans.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better for someone to go out, get themselves out, get their body and their blood circulating, and take a dog walk. It's really, really therapeutic. And that's what you'll read in the book, is that everything, that dogs are the best therapy we could ever have for each other.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of your tips to make your home as dog-friendly as possible, everything from flooring to furniture, upholstery. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with Wendy Diamond, author of It's a Dog's World, The Savvy Guide to Four-Legged Living.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
About destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be?
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we're back today with Wendy Diamond, author of It's a Dog's World, The Savvy Guide to Four-Legged Living. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thank you.
So you have a section in your book. This book, by the way, is fabulous. It's so well-rounded and balanced. I mean, it goes from everything from, you know, training tips. You talk about food. You have all these little recipes, exercise, you know, home furnishings, all this stuff. And then all these cute little, like, ask Lucky, who's your, I'm actually embarrassed that we haven't talked about Lucky yet.
Don't worry.
Please apologize to her for me.
Don't worry.
So Lucky, I think you mentioned Lucky is your Maltese and the inspiration of a lot of what you've created, this kind of empire that you've created. And she has a column, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I started Animal Fair, I mean, believe me, I mean, I was one of the first people to ever write about Cesar Millan in 2001. Mm-hmm. His wife told me they sold the show using our article.
Wow.
The National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been around the block in the pet world.
Yeah.
And so the book is a culmination of 10 years of truly traveling with my pet, living with my pet, knowing and being a part of everything that has, you know, launched in the last 10 years for dogs.
Yeah. Well, you talk about, you say, if we New Yorkers can make pet ownership and fabulous decor work together, given the limitations we have to work with, then anyone can.
Because in New York, you know, we don't have homes. We don't have backyards.
Right.
You know, we're in apartments. If we're lucky, we have a big apartment or a relatively big apartment. So it's all about choosing the right dog for your lifestyle, right? So I have a little dog. You know, I don't have a huge place. And it's about creating a home for you and your pet. They are your children.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dog has dog beds all over. I have four of them.
Mm-hmm.
They all work with the design of each room.
Mm-hmm.
They are fabric that's repellent of hair and stains.
Yep.
The floors, I did the floors so they're scratch resistant.
Mm-hmm.
The windows are scratch resistant.
Wow.
So you can actually create a home that is pet friendly.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that really stood out to me when you were talking about flooring was, you know, wood versus tile versus laminate and, you know, kind of considering how resistant they are to being scratched, but also to traction, because I had an older dog that I just lost this summer, and he was a big mixed breed.
Right.
You know, very tall, very large dog. He was about 85 pounds, and he really had a hard time with laminate flooring, and he would, you know, kind of slip a little bit, and then he would get nervous, and that would make him slip even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I really like what you wrote about, you know, especially with senior dogs, you know, to make sure that the flooring is compatible with them and that they're not going to be slipping around, because that can really, you know, injure them or...
Absolutely, especially as they age. They get arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not able to move as much. Their joints are tight. So what's really important is people realize, you know, consider that.
Yeah. Now, I have another question just to quickly ask you, because we were talking last week. It was actually an article in the New York Times about debarking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some people who say that they, you know, it's their only option. Otherwise, they'd have to give up the dog or move. And, you know, because they're getting complaints about the barking. And I tend to think it's probably more of a training behavior issue.
Right.
More than anything else. Is that something that you found living in New York is, you know, as big of an issue as they say in the article, or is it kind of just...
Absolutely not. I mean, think about, you know, you're living, if you live in an apartment building, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone's got those neighbors that are fighting all the time.
Right.
But they're not fighting 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I feel as though, you know, with that article, would you just take out someone's vocal cords?
No.
No.
Yeah, de-talking.
Why would you do that to a dog?
I know.
It's truly the responsibility of that dog's parent to train that dog to not do that. And that takes time and commitment.
Yep. You know, there was a comment. There's this whole discussion. It's really sort of spawned this heated discussion. There's all this list of comments from people. And, you know, one person said that she got a dog, that it was, you know, really having a hard time, separation anxiety, and couldn't leave the dog alone and was barking all this time. And she said, you know, we were able to work through it. It took some time, but now the dog is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, I just feel like it's finding, you know, the right way to work the dog through it so that they are able to let go of the anxiety or learn learn how to be more quiet and inside anyway.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, these are like our children. Are we just going to send our children to the shelter? No!
Right.
We are responsible. We made that commitment in getting that dog. We are responsible for that dog.
Yeah. I know, I can never understand when some people say, well, I moved to an apartment that didn't accept pets, so I had to give my dog up. I was like, I would live in a car with my pets before I moved anywhere that didn't accept them.
Right. No, I agree.
All right. Well, back to the indoor furnishings, because you have some really great tips about this. You say patterns can hide dog hair more easily than solid color.
Absolutely, like, you know, the leopard prints, anything, you know, it depends on what your dog's hair's color is, but, you know, Lucky's a white Maltese, she, you know, rarely sheds.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but that's a great option for people.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a brown dog, you know, it's like you get, like, the suede, the faux suede, it works.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have some bullet points for furniture fabric that works well. You know, obviously durable, easy to clean if the pets are going to be allowed on the furniture. Tightly woven fabrics, and I've definitely found, like, microfiber, micro suede, ultra suede. I've got some beds
easy
made out
to
of
clean.
That. They come
easy
out of the,
to clean.
They come out of the dryer like new.
It's
amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, SureFit. Like, people don't realize, you know, those are great. You throw them in the dryer and in the wash. They get clean. You put them back on.
Yep.
It's like a towel. Yeah. Also, another really interesting tip is, like, bounce. Like, who would have thought? You know, you throw a sheet of bounce in the dryer, it repels pet hair off fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Even your clothes.
Yeah.
You'll save on lint rollers.
Yeah, I know. I have got a bunch of those. I have one in the car. I have two dogs that shed. I have two cattle dogs and a dachshund.
Wow, yeah.
Cattle dogs shed like it's their job. They do a good job of it, too. Now, you said there's a product actually called Drool Cleaner for dogs that drool.
Exactly. I mean, that's what you're going to find. It's like being around this for 10 years and seeing every product that comes out. It's amazing. I don't know how many bottles are going to sell a Drool Cleaner, but if that's a problem for you, there's an option a way to fix it.
Right. I imagine you probably haven't used that with the Maltese.
No, Lucky does not drool.
No.
That was something when choosing the right dog for my lifestyle, I know I wouldn't be able to handle the drooling dog.
Yeah. I know.
I picked the most clean dog you could possibly have.
And some dogs are really messy. I'd like to see something. I don't know. We just put towels around the water bowl. But sometimes when we have friends' dogs fortunately, our dogs don't do this. But when they drink, it's not like they end up pouring, you know, half the water in the bowl once they lift their head up from the bowl all over the floor.
I know.
You know, they lift their head up and then walk away from the bowl, and it's like this stream of water that follows them, and it's like, oh, some sort of absorbent mat that went around the bowl would be great. We just use towels, but yeah, those are all things to really consider, you know, in getting a breed. And also individual variation even within breeds now. I mean, you can definitely generalize within a breed, but then there's always individual variation as well.
Yeah, no, like within New York City, right, you know, you can't, you've got to realize you can't get these big dogs and live in a tiny little studio.
Do many people, because, you know, Seattle, we've got a growing downtown condo development happening right now. And you see people walking around with Great Danes, and I'm surprised at how many large dogs there are. Is it more smaller dogs in New York, or?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more smaller dogs, mid-sized dogs. Mm-hmm. You rarely, really see the Great Danes and the bigger dogs. And definitely, you know, a lot of people here also have, like, homes for the weekend, and they'll take their dogs out there that way.
Right.
What I found in New York City, though, you know, is people are, like, you know, they take their dogs to there's a lot of, you know, doggy schools that you could take your dog, and they get to play all day.
Right.
And there's, like, buses all over New York City. It's so funny that you see these dogs get on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to remember, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so you want to make sure that whatever breed you get for your lifestyle works for your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you can only, take your dog out in the morning at night, make sure you don't get a hyperactive dog.
Yeah. Yeah, for yourself and for the dog's sake, too, because they need their needs met, their energetic needs met. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Wendy. When we come back, we're going to talk about your vast experience, yours and Lucky's experience with doggy travel.
Woo-hoo!
And that whole world. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
An injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit healingallies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit healingallies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's healingallies.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Wendy Diamond, author of It's a Dog's World, The Savvy Guide to Four-Legged Living. This book has become available as of yesterday, and you can get it online, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thank you.
So you have a great section, and I am so envious of your travel experience. You must be very busy.
Well, first of all, because of work reasons, I have to travel a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was the thing. When I first got lucky, and people always ask me, how does your dog stay so quiet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just came back from New Orleans. We were the Grand Marshals of Barkus. And you know what Barkus is, right?
No, I don't.
You don't? Oh,
no.
My gosh. It's been around for 18 years.
Uh-huh.
And Barkus is the first weekend of Mardi Gras, and it's where 20,000 people and their dogs do a parade.
Wow.
It was one of the most surreal moments of my life.
Now, was this the weekend of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we just got back.
Oh, wow.
So Lucky and I were Grand Marshals of Barkus, and we led that parade. It was the more fun than I swear I felt like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. And it was all in the French Quarter, and there were all these people. It was outrageous,
yeah.
Outrageous. But what I always say to people, because they're like, how is your dog so mellow and cool? And I laugh. I look at them, and I said, when I first got Lucky, and how I actually named Lucky.
Uh-huh.
Was, you know, I said to somebody, his name's Bash Dieber, he's a famous dog trainer, he's trained like Mariah Carey's dog and a lot of people's dogs,
mm-hmm.
and at that time I knew him, and I said, you know, I really want to adopt a little dog, and he actually had a client that was giving up their dog, and they wanted to give it to the shelter, and I said, no, I'll take the dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he brings Lucky over, I was like, laughing, right? I'm like, okay, this is the dog? The dog was crazy, running in circles nonstop. And I look at my friend, I'm like, aren't I? Her name was Chloe originally.
Uh-huh.
And I look at my friend, I'm like, aren't I lucky? You know, like, oh boy, what am I in for?
Yeah.
And so she had really bad separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think what happened was her previous parents did not, you know, left her alone a lot.
Right.
And so what happened was I just would take her in a dog bag. And always would take her out because she would never let me leave her at home.
Mm-hmm.
So from day one, she was always with me.
Mm-hmm.
And dog bag is like the most important item you could get for a dog if they're going to travel with you
mm-hmm.
and if they're small.
Yeah.
Because you certainly can't be carrying a golden retriever in a dog bag.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized is that, you know, they have to be comfortable. They have to be light because you absolutely have to carry that dog in the bag, and the bag better be light.
Right.
And it's very important that it fits with your lifestyle. So I kind of needed like a chic dog bag, you know, because I'm taking her everywhere.
Yep.
And so what I've realized also is important from day one when you get that dog, make sure you train them
mm-hmm.
to travel, be quiet, and feel comfortable in that dog bag.
Mm.
So when you're out, they are just very mellow and at ease.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as a result of that, now you just go everywhere with her, which is so wonderful. So.
Well, you know, I have to be grateful for a couple things. First of all, she, for 10 years, literally has traveled with me everywhere from Russia to Greece to Mexico a few times,
mm-hmm.
all over the United States.
Mm. You wrote a part of, let's see, some places to be aware of to not bring your dog to if you travel with your dog, that based on, I think, quarantine laws that they have.
Right. You know, first of all, I have to say, like, you'd be really, really surprised at places that you can bring your dog, like Russia.
Yeah.
I mean, when we went to Russia, no one even said a thing.
Wow.
It was so odd. They were, you know, like everyone, we'd go into a Pizza Hut
mm-hmm.
and the dogs were allowed to sit on your lap.
Wow.
I mean, incredible.
Yeah.
And also what I've really also, in the last 10 years, every single hotel chain pretty much
mm-hmm.
are now pet friendly.
Mm.
I mean, as you guys know over there, the Hotel Monaco in Seattle is an unbelievable hotel.
Yeah.
They love dogs. They do not care what how big your breed is or what type of breed. They love every dog, as well as cats.
Yeah. You know, and that's a really important point. There's a difference between pet-friendly and pet-tolerant.
Exactly. I mean, because, like, a lot of the hotels are like, has to be under 25 pounds.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, what?
Always has to be in the crate, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You know, also it's like the right car. You know, you can't just throw the dog in the, you know, in the back of a pickup truck.
Right.
It's a, you know, pets are our children. You need to get seatbelts.
Well, let's give out the phone number for listeners to call in. We're going to give out some free copies of Wendy's new book, It's a Dog's World, to the first three callers. The number to call is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. 5569. We've got some copies of your wonderful book to give away to the first three lucky callers. Again, that's 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. And the lines are lighting up, so those will go fast. So, now, you know, one thing that's really important, you know, as far as air travel goes, you said over-sedation is the leading cause of animal deaths during airline transport.
Absolutely. First of all, I always say to people, you know, like, some people don't like to travel.
Yeah.
Some people refuse to go on airlines.
Yep.
And sometimes, maybe your pet isn't capable of traveling. And that's something, before you even think of considering going on a vacation or taking your dog with you anywhere, consult with your vet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the best? Is my dog ready to go on vacation? Is my dog tolerant enough to take that trip?
Mm-hmm.
After you get the approval of your vet, you know, and they give you the okay, if you feel your dog's going to have anxiety, is going to be restless, there is so many alternative methods to having your dog relax.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need to give them any kind of drugs.
Yep. Yeah, there's some, you know, natural
Absolutely.
Or herbal.
Absolutely, homeopathic stuff that's,
yep.
that's really great at any kind of, you know, store, like any health food store.
Yeah, we've got, there's one in every neighborhood here in Seattle, so.
I know, you guys are so,
yeah,
great. I know.
Yeah.
And again, it's, you know, and I also say to people, you know, make sure you bring your favorite dog toy. Make sure you bring your favorite blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you bring a couple of your dog's favorite treats.
Yep.
Make sure if you're taking whatever amount of time it is, you take that time away from giving your dog water so your dog doesn't have to go to the bathroom on the plane.
Right, and, you know, the thing that you said earlier is, you know, make sure you get the dog comfortable in a, you know, a carrying bag. Don't just go get one and then throw them in it for the first time and get on a plane. But there's actually work you can do with your dog to kind of acclimate them to the bag itself.
Absolutely. First of all, like, dogs love to be with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, when you're going to the store, just bring your dog in the bag.
Yep. Yeah, and it looks like Continental Airlines flies animals as cargo rather than as checked baggage, which is great. And you said Delta also has a great reputation. Have you heard or had any experience with Pet Airways, the new airline that's just for pets?
I laugh about that. Okay. I've been in this business a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'll say about Pet Airways. Who in the world is going to put their dog on a plane and then drive 2 hours to the airport and put themselves on the plane?
So how does it work?
Who on earth is going to spend that money and do that?
Yeah.
What I want to know is...
And what cities?
Yeah.
Right. And do they allow snakes on the plane?
Oh, my God, of course. They'll take anything. I think the economy is so bad right now, I think they'll take anything.
Really? So you said a pet travel advisory, do not put your dog on a plane to any of these following places: Australia, Japan, Barbados, Jamaica, St. Uh-huh. Lucia, St. Vincent, Antigua, and Hawaii. because some places, a lot of the islands have, you know, like a 6-month quarantine or something like that. So,
right.
Now with the canine cruise, you said you've been on one of these?
I have.
That sounds so fun. But you
hysterical.
You must not be going to any of these forbidden places, though.
No. These cruises are like around New York City. You know, there's different ones popping up all over the place.
Okay, so these aren't like a week-long cruise to...
Yeah, no. Oh. They haven't made those yet.
Got it. Okay.
But actually, you can take your cruise. You can actually go on cruises and bring your dog. They're not specifically, you know, canine cruises. Mm. There are canine cruises, for instance, in New York City. There's a canine cruise. But, you know, there's also, you can take your dog on a cruise. And when you take your dog on a cruise, that just means it's pet-friendly, just like a hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you certain places you can bring your dog, certain places you can't take your dog. It's also important to know, like, sometimes they're not good with the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing it's important to know.
Well,
you know, not all dogs are, like, happy to be on the, you know, friendly
yeah.
waters.
Yeah, and then that goes back to the travel in general
issue. And
are you
going to go now again, bring your homeopathic
right.
stuff because they're going to get sick.
Right, yeah.
And then you also have to look at, you know, when I first started, there was only one airline that allowed dogs, and that was LL.
Oh, right. Now, that's not a U.S. airline, correct? It's an Israel...
No, it's the Israeli airline.
Right.
They were the first person to ever give pet miles.
Wow.
Can you believe this? Who would have thought?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a great
but again,
idea.
If you know, like Cunard, for instance, and the Queen Mary too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to go on one of those, you know, if you're going to go on a cruise, that those are the cruises that allow you to bring pets.
Mm-hmm.
But my thoughts on that, I don't know if your dogs want to be cooped up on a cruise ship.
Yeah, well, what I mean, potty
and
arrangements.
And those are really small quarters.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be challenging.
It's a closet.
Yeah, yeah.
And they haven't made those ships that pet friendly, meaning you're not going on the grass. I mean, but it's fun, you know, if you, like, I could bring Lucky. Lucky is small. She's a part of my life. She'll sit at a dinner table. She'll sit in my bed, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes back to our, you know, by the way, the bed and the dog, which is another thing people should realize.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's why I'm unlucky in love. I'm unlucky in a lot of things because of the love. But feng shui.
Yeah.
Number one, no pets in your bed.
Huh.
They should sleep on dog beds.
Oh, interesting. Now back to the Super Bowl. Did you watch
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes.
Did you notice how many commercials had dogs in them this year?
Absolutely.
I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, everybody realizes dogs mean loyalty.
Yep.
Compassion, unconditional love, a bond,
mm-hmm.
and they hope that they had that with their products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really kind of struck by that. It was like. Commercial, I always notice dogs, any, you know, I'm like, dog, 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 everywhere. But, yeah, they were in a lot of the commercials. So we're going to take our last break. All the books are gone. So those went fast. So that's great. We're going to get those out to some lucky listeners. Again, Wendy is the author of It's a Dog's World, The Savvy Guide to Four-Legged Living. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Does work feel like a puzzle and you don't know where all the pieces are, or you have all the pieces but you don't know what the picture should look like? Then join me, Denise Rubin, 30-year vet in human resources. I've sat in the boardroom and in the executive offices, and I'll share with you the trials and tribulations of the workplace and how together we can solve the workplace puzzle one piece at a time. Tune in to Work Does Matter Fridays from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, an alternative Talk 1150. Visit my website at workdoesmatter.com.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're back with Wendy Diamond, author of It's a Dog's World, The Savvy Guide to Four-Legged Living. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thank you.
Now, just a mention, given Valentine's Day is coming up here shortly, you've got a couple other interesting books that you've written, How to Understand Men Through Their Dogs and How to Understand Women Through Their Cats.
Right.
And you're also the chief pet officer of Animal Fair magazine, which you said you started in 1999.
But does that mean you can't understand men with cats or women with dogs?
Well, you know what? Here's what I'll tell you. It's a really actually funny story. Is what happened was I was with a guy for 3.5 years, and when we broke up, everyone started fixing up with men with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one night I'm out with a Chihuahua guy, the next night a mutt man, the next day a Golden Retriever guy, and then the next month I'm out with another Retriever guy, because everyone just wanted to fix up with men with dogs. That was it, right?
Yeah.
And I realized the personality traits of each man were the same.
Uh-huh.
So I decided to interview 4 men per breed, the top 36 breeds, to do my analysis.
Huh.
So How to Understand Men Through Their Dogs is a book, and Chicago Sun-Times said it was 98% accurate.
That's funny.
And it actually works. You don't have to waste your time in the dog park anymore.
No.
You know, so it's like you want a mutt man. What's a mutt man? He's like down to earth. He's humble. He's great with children. He's going to be a great family man. He's going to be a great provider. Really into sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I really went through all the characteristic traits of a man and then put it in one book. So when you go to the dog park and you see a guy with a poodle, you know, he's a little bit more refined, into art, wine, and culture, a little bit more high maintenance.
Maybe
you
gay.
You know, that's all what you want in a man. There's no bad man, like there's no bad dog.
Yeah. Well, and now what about women with cats?
Oh, women with cats?
Yeah.
Really feminine. Really, really, really altruistic. Very much caretakers.
Mm.
And so I go through those as well. You know, you know, it tends to be the more unique breed, the more high maintenance.
Mm, interesting.
The ones that adopt tend to be a lot more low maintenance. Like for me, for instance, I kind of like poodle men. I'm really into art. I'm really into culture,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the end of the day, I really would be more interested in a mutt man.
Mm. So a mutt man might be more long-term.
Yeah, maybe a guy that adopted a poodle, you know, a poodle.
Ooh, poodle rescue, poodle. That would be ideal.
That would be ideal for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go through the training tips, too, on how to help you deal with a man, through dog training tips.
Hmm.
You know, no tricks without treats. How many women these days are like, you know, going to bars and ending up with people? We've got to go back to chivalry.
Mm.
And we got to go back to the times where men are men and women are women.
Hmm. Well, it's very, very interesting topics. And I'm very curious about your you know, to find out more about your study that you actually did do with men with dogs.
It was hysterical. And that led to creating Yappy Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And Yappy Hour, we're going to be in Seattle. We're going to 15 cities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We partnered with the Kimpton Hotel chain, so they're going to be all hosted at the Kimpton.
Mm-hmm.
And Kibbles and Bits is doing a huge doggy buffet. There's the Bulldog Gin Wine. It's a gin. Sorry, Bulldog Gin.
Mm-hmm.
And we do these puppy love drinks. They're adorable. And these are the premier cocktail parties. And by the way, that's another aspect of It's a Dog's World book, is how to have a party at home for your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's not goofy and like all this other stuff. It's not. It's like having a yappy hour at home.
Mm-hmm.
Having a dog party at home, inviting all your friends over with their dogs and having a party, baking them the amazing dog treats that we have the recipe in the book for.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, and so Yappy Hour is going to go across the country to 15 cities. It's going to raise money for local animal rescue in each community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the premier singles party for people and dogs. What does that mean? Well, look, if you're looking for a man, you're looking for a woman, or if you're a couple looking for a rescue dog,
mm-hmm.
this is the greatest party that you could ever go to.
And if you're a single lady, I recommend you pick up How to Understand Men Through Their Dogs before you attend this event.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's quite useful as well as at the dog park.
Mm-hmm. And so you are coming to Seattle for that?
Yep, we will be in Seattle, probably more in April.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, people could, you know, go on to our website or, you know, go on animalfair.com. or wendydiamond.com, and you could see, you know, the cities that we're going to and the dates. All the dates have not been 100% confirmed yet.
Okay. Well, I will post your website on the Dog Talk Show website, which
Woo-hoo!
Is dogtalkshow.com. Sure. And you said is that Kimpton Hotel? How do you spell that?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if you realize this. Kimpton is the Monaco.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Okay, so they're the Monaco hotels. There's the Muse Hotel in New York. There's the Epic in Miami. So that's the Kimpton Hotel chain.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Well, that sounds like fun. Definitely, I'll be looking for the dates for that, and I'll be sure to
let... Oh, you will have a blast.
Yeah.
And how often do you get to go to a fun event with your dog?
Yeah. Well, I think my dachshund would definitely be game for that. She's
pretty
mellow.
Yeah, your dachshund would much more appreciate it than probably your bigger dog, yeah.
Yeah, the cattle dogs would just try to get everyone in a corner.
Ah! No, they would have fun, too. You know, what's life without chaos?
Yeah. Well, you wrote a little bit about, you said you're an expert in the history of doggy fashion.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was a really actually interesting timeline that you have about kind of the evolution of doggy fashion. And it says, now you have a dog fashion timeline. It says in the Stone Age, woven clothes were put on dogs to improve hunting and gathering.
Right. I mean, if you look back on the days of, you know, back then, you remember that they used to wear, you know, the hides.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look back, it's funny because most people don't realize this. Fashion for dogs has been around for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's only gotten into the mainstream.
Right. It's moved more from functional back in the Stone Age.
Functional, but also think about all the queens with their dogs and the beautiful collars and all that.
Well, it looks like 1800s, dresses and collars, 1920s and 30s, trench coats,
mm-hmm.
1950s, very fancy, pretty bows and pink dyes. So that's where that kind of started happening. And then 70s, casual wear, plain sweaters.
Right.
And then, of course, 1999. It just seems like that's where...
I mean, how weird does it seem like that was so long ago? But yeah, in 1999 was when we launched Pause for Style, and that was with the first ever fat fashion show, and that's where you started seeing more of the Burberry pet line,
mm-hmm.
Coach pet line.
Mm-hmm.
That all came after.
So what's hot now?
Juicy Couture.
Yeah. What's hot now in dog fashion?
Now, here's what I will say, you know, and I'm a true believer in this, and, you know, I kind of consider myself, you know, like kind of the realist in the dog world.
Mm-hmm.
And pets do not care about fashion.
Right.
They are fine with last year's leash and collar.
Right. Yeah, they don't.
So it's all about, if you want to have a successful pet line,
mm-hmm.
target the pet parent.
Oh, that's like with even pet food. They're targeting the people. Dogs aren't buying the food, yeah.
And so, you know, with pet fashion, what's the latest and greatest? You know, listen, I have to be honest. There are some clothes for dogs that I want to wear.
Yeah.
It's incredible out there.
Yeah. Ooh, that's cute.
I mean, everybody stops me, and they're like, where'd you get that bag? And I'm like, it's a dog bag.
Yeah. My dog's in it.
Yeah, my dog's in it. Yeah. But what's really amazing for people now is you can get them really amazing designed bags that you can carry your dog in. They have jackets that are just, like, beautiful. There's a few lines, I don't know if you know, Quiggy Bow.
No.
That's a great line.
Mm-hmm.
They have the greatest dog bags.
Mm.
But they also do trench coats for dogs now. You can get raincoats for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want. The most durable sweaters.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, to point out again what you said, we've just got a minute left here, but that dogs, it's not healthy for dogs to wear clothes all the time.
No, they need, their skin needs to breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually unhealthy for them to be in clothes all the time.
Yeah. And that most dogs, anyway, aside from maybe the Mexican hairless,
do
have their own fur to some extent. And so to put on a jacket to protect them maybe from, you know, super cold weather or rain, you know, is great, but to not overdo it with that. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, we are at the end of our show. It's been wonderful to have you on. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys so much for your support. I really am grateful for it.
Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you here in Seattle sometime in April. You can go to animalfair.com to find out more about that. And thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. You've been listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.